What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
A New World Report with my colleagues, Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. In the Americas, we have the old world dominating the story. The old world in the presence of Moscow and Beijing and their allies in Tehran. We can expect that there will be more of this, not less. The Monroe Doctrine is an antique. We begin with Russia in the New World. Joseph Umar has recently made remarks to people who are fascinated with this transformation of Caracas and soon enough other capitals into Russian-speaking, Russian-welcoming entourages. We'll then get on to Brazil, where the foreign minister of Russia recently visited several days the new president, Mr. Lula da Silva. But we begin with Joseph. Joseph, how much did your audience appreciate the scale of this? Did they understand where Russia is in the Americas? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. So in way of context, I did a presentation this morning with the National Defense University. And it's a private presentation because it's a seminar that they hold annually for 50 of some of the top security, defense, and intelligence officials from Latin America. This is kind of our security cooperation with Latin America. And I've done this, you know, variations of different presentations with these groups over the years. And I'm always impressed because I meet a lot of good people that are doing good work in their countries. But I'm also impressed by there's certain individuals in these groups that are very knowledgeable and are increasingly getting more knowledge about external actors. And so in my case, it was my turn to talk about Russia and Iran's activities in Latin America. And particularly with Russia, you know, given the context of the war in Ukraine, this is the first time I've given that talk to these officials with, you know, after the war in Ukraine. And there's certainly a knowledge base that they understand about how Russia's been meddling in Latin America. We focused on two things. We focused on disinformation, which Russia's a major player. They have one of the largest social media presence in Latin America. They have one of the largest cable news networks in Latin America, RT in Espanol. Collectively on Facebook, they have more social media followers than CNN in Espanol. Their Spanish-speaking social media of RT is bigger than their English-speaking following on Facebook. So they've become a major, major amplifier. And so when Vladimir Putin in Russia wants to spin certain narratives about its invasion of Ukraine and put forth sort of fake news throughout the world, the Spanish-speaking audience is very much disposable to them. And then the other thing we talked about, John, was we talked about hybrid warfare. And this is something that they're very interested in because it's the use and the mix of unconventional and irregular tactics, such as the use of paramilitary groups, such as the Wagner Group, the use of disinformation and cyber warfare, but combining it with military technology, such as drones and other things. And so they're very much interested in that because I think they've seen the Russia increase over the time. In fact, I got one question. Obviously, I can't say who it was, but from one country, and this was an intelligence official from a country in Latin America, that told me they said they're seeing an increase significant of Russian activity since the war in Ukraine. And that sometimes could look as counterfactual because you would think that because of the war in Ukraine, Russia's too busy to actually get involved in all these peripheral projects halfway around the world. But in fact, in this case, in this country, they're saying they're seeing an increase. But then the second part of what this person told me was they're struggling with how to get this analysis into the hands of the decision makers and policymakers in their countries, because there's some that don't know because they're not educated. And then there's some that don't want to know because they may be either ideologically, politically, or other aligned with Russia. So they definitely see it as a challenge, and they definitely have an appetite to learn more. And I'm just glad the United States does this kind of thing, because this is what we should be doing a lot more of. We need to be helping educate our partners in Latin America as to these big geopolitical threats.
Ernesto, I read the news from Reuters, Lisbon. Brazil's Luiz Lula da Silva said he did not want to, quote, please anyone with his views about Russia's invasion of Ukraine, after provoking criticism for suggesting Kyiv shared the blame for the war. Speaking in Lisbon at the start of his first visit to Europe, Mr. President Lula da Silva said his aim was, quote, to build a way to bring both of them, Russia and Ukraine, to the table, presenting himself as a peacemaker. Russia recently visited Brasilia in the person of Sergei Lavrov, the very prominent foreign minister of Russia. What is Lula da Silva's relationship with Moscow right now, Ernesto? Thank you.
So, John, Russia is a key ally of Lula and of the whole project of the São Paulo Forum in Latin America, of which Lula is, of course, one of the founders and key people. So Lula is, of course, trying to serve the Russian cause in this war. There's no other way to see that. He realized that after being on record saying that Ukraine and Russia are equally culprits in this war, and that the U.S. and the European Union are fostering the war, after saying that, he had to backtrack a little bit in order to try to preserve some respectability as a possible intermediary of the negotiations together with other countries. But this is his hope, right? So in order not to be seen as partial to Russia, he's saying those things. But it's clear that his notion of peace is give Russia a chunk of Ukraine, right? That's clearly what is in his mind. I hope the Ukrainians don't buy that, because any success of Lula in that regard would be good for Russia, bad for the Ukraine, bad for the free world, including for Brazil, for Brazilian people, right? Because Russia is here around the region and in Brazil, fostering disinformation, as Joseph was saying, supporting we don't know what kind of activity, but certainly not very legal activities. And during the visit of Lavrov to Brazil, the partiality of Brazil was confirmed. I mean, Lavrov himself said, "Oh, I'm thankful for Brazil to Brazil for understanding our invasion of the Ukraine." Okay, so that's not impartiality at all. Incidentally, Lavrov brought a diplomatic cargo of 5 tons to Brazil with his delegation. We don't know what this is. We cannot open that in Brazil. We should. But what's there, we don't know. Probably not paper, right? Or not paper clips. It's clear that Russia sees today Brazil as part of its effort to legitimizing the campaign against Ukraine and their whole vision of the world, which they call multipolarity, but it actually is much more power for the totalitarian bloc, and much less power for the free world. And Lula is playing. That's the music he's playing. He was playing it more loudly 1 week ago. Now he's playing more softly, piano. But it's the same. It's the same song. It's the Russian song.
Joseph, was there concern about Brazil under Lula da Silva moving to the Russian camp? There was always ambiguity because of the relationship between Russia and the rest of the world, chiefly fertilizer. That was at the beginning of the war when President Bolsonaro visited Moscow. But is Brazil seen as more vulnerable or more exploited by Russia today than before?
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree 100% with what Ernesto's saying. I mean, this is a marked difference from President Bolsonaro making deals with Russia because of lack of foresight and bad economic maneuvers and dependency on the fertilizers. That's one thing. Transactional. It's another thing to have a strategic alignment with Russia, something that Lula may not openly discuss at the offset, even though he just received Sergei Lavrov in Brasilia. But more importantly, they've always kind of been aligned with this sort of South-South view of the world, meaning that they want to align with Russia, with Iran, with China, with this what they call the Global South, as opposed to the West or the North. And in that, I think there's something that's popping up, John, and I think should be attention of everybody, is they're starting to catch in Latin America, including in Brazil, more and more Russian agents infiltrated with fake identities. They've caught some in Argentina. They've caught some in Chile. They've caught some in Peru. They've caught some in Mexico. And they also caught one in Brazil. The one in Brazil was very interesting because this individual that appears to be a GRU agent, that's Russian military intelligence, he was basically trying to get an internship at the International Criminal Court at the same time that Vladimir Putin was being presented for potential war charges, war crimes at the ICC in The Hague. And this individual, he had lived in Washington, D.C. He was a student here. He had gone to Brasilia. He had then sought an internship at The Hague. And all this time he was doing it under a fake identity that he was a Polish person that then got Brazilian nationality. And then the whole time he seems to be a Russian intelligence agent. But this is very telling because since Lula became the president, we've heard nothing about that case. He should be charged with espionage. But my understanding is they're only charging him with immigration crimes. And then more than likely that won't result in any very serious consequence. So this is the kind of thing that we're seeing in Latin America right now.
Ernesto, did you have concerns about Russian agents at the foreign ministry during your time?
Not directly in the foreign ministry. We never came close to identifying that. But yes, in the administration overall, in the military, I have concerns about their penetration in decision-making places in Brazil. I think the things that are over the surface are probably the tip of the iceberg. This agent that Joseph mentioned, apparently there are two other agents, Russian agents, trained or hatched in Brazil, more or less in the same way. So we wonder what's under the surface and what influence that can have in Brazilian foreign policy and Brazilian domestic policy as well.
Joseph, I want to stay with this topic. Is this new? Has it always been there? Back to the Obama administration, the Bush administration, has Russia been working the Americas for decades?
Well, for sure, we have the period of the Cold War and the Soviet influence and the Soviet penetration of Latin America. So there's always something to build on. I don't think Russia started from scratch in the 21st century. But what we're seeing is an incremental increase. And now I think what we're seeing is an accelerated increase in the last few years, from going back to when Obama was president now to when Joe Biden's president. And I think what we're seeing is a level of tradecraft that Russia employs, particularly with the GRU, with their military intelligence, that exceeds what they've done previously in terms of deep cover, meaning that they have the ability to penetrate a society, a government, through fake nationalities and fake identities, have families, and then those families become operational. Then they use those to get visas to go to Europe and the United States. That's a level above even what they did during the Cold War. And you know, we know that during the Cold War, they were very active as well. And just in the last year, John, I mean, I could tell you probably a dozen cases that I've been told about or seen or heard about in Latin America about these Russian deep cover operatives. Particularly, they started to see them after the invasion of Ukraine.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. There's an election in Argentina, and the president of Argentina just dropped out of the race. What does it mean? This is the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.